castle seemed very quiet, even for a Sunday. Everybody was clearly out in the sunny grounds, enjoying the end of their exams and the prospect of a last few days of term unhampered by studying or homework. Harry walked slowly along the deserted corridor, peering out of windows as he went. He could see people messing around in the air over the Quidditch pitch and a couple of students swimming in the lake, accompanied by the giant squid. He was finding it hard at the moment to decide whether he wanted to be with people or not. Whenever he was in company, he wanted to get away, and whenever he was alone, he wanted company. He thought he might really go and visit Hagrid, though. He had not talked to him properly since he had returned. Harry had just descended the last marble step into the entrance hall when Malfoy, Crabbe and Goyle emerged from a door on the right that Harry knew led down to the Slytherin common room. Harry stopped dead, so did Malfoy and the others. For a few moments, the only sounds were the shouts, laughter and splashes drifting into the hall from the grounds through the open front doors. Malfoy glanced around. Harry knew he was checking for signs of teachers. Then he looked back at Harry and said in a low voice,
"You're dead, Potter."
Harry raised his eyebrows. "Funny," he said. "You'd think I'd have stopped walking around." Malfoy looked angrier than Harry had ever seen him. He felt a kind of detached satisfaction at the sight of his pale, pointed face contorted with rage.
"You're going to pay," said Malfoy in a voice barely louder than a whisper. "I'm going to make you pay for what you've done to my father." "Well, I'm terrified now," said Harry sarcastically. "I suppose Lord Voldemort's just a warm-up act compared to you three."
"What's the matter?" he said, for Malfoy, Crabbe and Goyle had all looked stricken at the sound of the name. "He's your dad's mate, isn't he? Not scared of him, are you?"
"You think you're such a big man, Potter,"
said Malfoy, advancing now, Crabbe and Goyle flanking him.
"You wait, I'll have you. You can't land my father in prison."
"I thought I just had," said Harry.
"The Dementors have left Azkaban," said Malfoy quietly. "Dad and the others will be out in no time."
"Yeah, I expect they will," said Harry. "Still, at least everyone knows what scumbags they are now." Malfoy's hand flew toward his wand, but Harry was too quick for him. He had drawn his own wand before Malfoy's fingers had even entered the pocket of his robes.
"Potter!"
The voice rang across the entrance hall. Snape had emerged from the staircase leading down to his office, and at the sight of him, Harry felt a great rush of hatred beyond anything he felt toward Malfoy. Whatever Dumbledore said, he would never forgive Snape. Never.
"What are you doing, Potter?"
said Snape coldly as ever, as he strode over to the four of them.
"I'm trying to decide what curse to use on Malfoy, sir," said Harry fiercely.
Snape stared at him.
"Put that wand away at once," he said curtly. 10 points from Griff."
Snape looked toward the giant hourglasses on the walls and gave a sneering smile.
"Ah, I see there are no longer any points left in the Gryffindor hourglass to take away. In that case, Potter, we will simply have to
add some more." Professor McGonagall had just stumped up the stone steps into the castle. She was carrying a tartan carpet bag in one hand and leaning heavily on a walking stick with her other, but otherwise looked quite well.
"Professor McGonagall," said Snape, striding forward. "Out of St. Mungo's, I see."
"Yes, Professor Snape," said Professor McGonagall, shrugging off her travelling cloak. "I'm quite as good as new. You too, Crabbe, Goyle."
She beckoned them forward imperiously, and they came, shuffling their large feet and looking awkward.
"Here,"
said Professor McGonagall, thrusting her carpet bag into Crabbe's chest and her cloak into Goyle's.
"Take these up to my office for me."
They turned and stumped away up the marble staircase.
"Right then,"
said Professor McGonagall, looking up at the hourglasses on the wall.
"Well, I think Potter and his friends ought to have 50 points apiece for alerting the world to the return of you-know-who. What say you, Professor Snape?"
"What?"
snapped Snape, though Harry knew he had heard perfectly well.
"Oh, well, I suppose..."